Our gospel reading today opened with the words, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns." If you were tuned in at that moment, you might have wondered, heard what? When Jesus heard what? When the crowds heard what? I hate being left out of the loop. If there's something to be heard, I want to hear it. It really doesn't matter if it's pertinent to global issues or even issues in my life. I just want to know. You may be the same way. What Jesus had just heard, and what the crowd presumably had heard as well, was that John the Baptist had been beheaded by Herod because of his conniving wife, an enchanting, but not in a good way, stepdaughter, who had just pulled a number on him. Jesus had just been told, and the gathered crowd had heard, that John's disciples had taken his body and buried it. And just prior to that really sad news, just after Jesus had told all those parables about the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of God is like, you remember, a mustard seed, leaven, a pearl of great value, a treasure. Just after Jesus told all those parables and warned those listening about what the result would be for the righteous versus the evil, he went home. But before he went home, remember, he asked the disciples if they understood the scriptures. And what they said in response was yes. And you have to wonder if this is the only lie ever recorded in history in scripture. Actually, lie might be a bit harsh. They got it on some level. They wanted to get it, but at this moment in time, the disciples were probably behaving a bit more like children who've just been scolded by their mom. We've been there. Remember the tone of voice? Maybe with a bit of an edge. Did you hear me? And you knew better than to say no, no matter what. So you said yes and tried to do your best puzzle solving to determine what it was she had actually said to avoid further retribution. Now, I'm not trying to equate Jesus with a harried mom here. It just seems that the disciples may have said yes so that Jesus would stop with the kingdom parables. And we have to admit, well, it doesn't seem that they really had the full knowledge at that moment of who Jesus really was. In the end, they really did come through. But back where we are today, Jesus told all those the kingdom-like parables and then went home. Or as Matthew tells it, he came to his hometown and began to teach people. And as we know, that didn't go too well. He was unable to do many deeds of power because of the unbelief of the people. They were too busy trying to find flaws. Who does he think he is? Isn't he that carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Mary? And remember, wasn't she the one who was pregnant, you know? How on earth could he teach us? And that's the lead up to where we find ourselves today. Jesus has had a tough time in his hometown, and then he's learned that his cousin John, the one who did seem to understand who he was and what God's plan was, has been killed. He's been beheaded. And it seems no surprise at all that Jesus wants to get away, to go away from the crowds. The crowds are not a safe bunch. Sure, they want to be healed, and God knows they need it. But enough is enough. This does not seem to be going anywhere good. And as we know, it doesn't. At least not at first glance. Jesus knows that this will end with his crucifixion. And it seems that he wants to go away, to get away, to make peace with that. Not to run away, not to hide, but just to take some time. So he goes to a deserted place. Have you ever been to a deserted place? Maybe you have found yourself shipwrecked on an island, but I imagine that at one time in your life or another, you found yourself in a deserted place, either physically or spiritually or emotionally. Those deserted places can be hard places to be. Deserted places are places where you think you are totally alone, that no one else has ever been there before. No one can possibly understand where you are, what you're going through. And even if they did understand, it just seems that they don't care. Jesus, in his full humanity, went to that deserted place. And it seems that he went there on an emotional level, because it surely wasn't deserted by the people. He was not left alone physically. The disciples were there, and there were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. This place at this point was not at all deserted, but it seems like it. Everybody wanted something, and they wanted it from him. Have you ever felt that way? Like you were being tugged in every direction? It's a deserted place. No Calvary in sight. That's just where Jesus was. And the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place and the hour is late. Send these people away so that they may go into the villages and buy food." And we would like to think that the disciples were genuinely concerned for the welfare of the people. And I'm sure they were concerned. But we also remember the time that they asked Jesus to send the woman away who was badgering them and making a ruckus. And we know that they were all frazzled and tired and sad at this point and probably needed what we would call downtime. And Jesus, in typical Jesus form, turns it around on the disciples and says, "You give them something to eat." And we have to give them kudos for not shrugging their shoulders in disbelief and turning and walking away. They had enough faith at that moment, at least, not to do that. And what follows is another story of abundance. "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, the disciples told Jesus. "And at the end of the day, there were 12 baskets left over." 12 being the number of the tribes of Israel. Jesus blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. This is an obvious forerunner to the Eucharist. And this, like the parables about the kingdom that we heard just last week, is about abundance. It's about fulfillment and calling the disciples to take part in the continuation of the plan. Jesus here meets a very real need. The people are in a place where there are no markets, no food available. They're growing hungry, and this will soon be a problem. The disciples see the problem looming, and they turn it over to Jesus. And what does Jesus do but turn it back to them? He says, "You give them something to eat." But he doesn't say that and then turn and walk away to have his well-deserved downtime. He says, "You give them something to eat," and then he makes it possible. There's something to that. He told them what to do. They grumbled and came up with all kinds of reasons why it wouldn't work. But then they turned it over to him, followed his direction, and the people were fed in a very real way. I'm sure that many of you have seen that in your own lives. I know that I have. You find yourself in a deserted place and are not sure how it's ever going to work out. And as a seemingly last resort, which is kind of the backwards part, you turn it over to Jesus, to God, and you find out that you had what you needed all along. faith. Trust that Jesus would provide what you needed to get you through that moment. He provided food for 4,000. And he provides food for us today. Food that not only feeds the body, food that feeds the soul. All are invited to join at the banquet of the Lord's table and be filled with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then to go out from here and feed those who hunger. Amen.